grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The first two sentences of the Holy Gospel for today say so much in such few words. Hear them again. Luke chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he left everything and rose and followed him. A person could call those verses a symbolic history of the way someone is saved, for the details of this one event infer the fact. Jesus went out and saw a man. The Son of God still comes to seek and to save the lost, and having redeemed the world, he still does that same thing by the agencies which he arranges and empowers. Jesus addressed himself to a tax collector. So despised the sinner that other sinners called him a sinner by comparison to themselves. The Son of God still calls sinners to repentance, and the falsely righteous to the knowledge of their sins, so that they might hear his call to repentance. Jesus said to Levi, "Follow me." The Son of God still uses his word, whether the gospel of the Holy Scriptures alone, or that word wedded to the waters of baptism, to call men to salvation. Jesus cited no qualifications of the one called, because the call was an act of his grace. The Son of God still gives salvation to the unworthy. Jesus gave salvation to Levi by giving him faith with which to receive it. The Son of God still does not use psychological manipulation to bring people to a feverish of suggestibility and then tell them what to do so that in their own emotions they do it. But by his Spirit's power, through the Word and the Sacrament, makes those who were spiritually dead and unbelieving alive and believing. Jesus gave Levi faith which made it natural with his being born again to renounce everything and to follow him. The Son of God still does attach men by faith so intimately to himself and his Heavenly Father and their Holy Spirit that they no longer live for themselves, but to him who died for them and rose again, rejoicing that because he lives, they too shall live forever. All that, and even the far greater detail of the whole biblical message of law and gospel, is called to mind by the elements of the event about Jesus and Levi. The event tells the one way that people are saved. But now here, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, a reading appointed for this octave in the church year. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not leave home. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Vindicate me against my adversary.' For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God vindicate his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" Can you keep the perspective of Luke chapter 5, verses 27 and 28 when thinking about prayer as it is spoken of in this reading from Luke chapter 18? Or are you moved to trade fact for fancy? When you make that trade, either in the teaching of this text or in teaching about prayer in general, teaching prayer as a righteous work and as a means of meriting grace, how is that like? That is sometimes said. It's almost as though people are asking themselves the question with the obviously intended answer, did not Jesus tell about the widow and the completely self-centered judge so that he could demonstrate that a man will be heard for much speaking? But look at the foregoing context as you have opportunity in Luke chapter 17 to see that the parable of this text in Luke 18 is a part of our Lord's preparing his own for the end time. Look at the following context, the familiar parable of the Pharisee and publican at prayer in the temple. To see that salvation is God's merciful gift. Look at the text itself, Luke 18, 1 to 8. To see that the emphasis is not on the persistence of the widow, but on the love of God compared to the despising of the just. This text gives the beautiful assurance to which the clinging in the most difficult of days, even in the last days, that God vindicates, gives justice to, justifies his chosen ones, his elect, who respond to his choice and gift of living faith by praying to him night and day. But will the Son of Man find faith on earth when he comes again? Not many human beings, but indeed he will find it for his saving word. Neither passes away nor returns to involve. Martin Luther understood so well that the word is means of grace and prayer the response of faith. It is for that reason that he published his personal prayer book in 1522. He placed prayer books which offered catalogs of sins to guide confession and lists of ways to merit forgiveness, with prayer being one of those ways. Luther's prayer book expounded saving faith in the terms of the creed, taught how to pray by expounding the Lord's Prayer, set forth the Decalogue to lead to the knowledge of what it is to break our commandments and what it is in faith to fulfill a commandment. In various editions of the book, he added various psalms and New Testament books, so that by its composition, that little book dramatized the fact that the gospel of praying is the power of salvation to everyone in whose heart God thereby plants the gift of faith, and prayer is the response of faith, as the psalmist in number 27 would have us understand. The conversation of the believing heart with God. Now, one of the blessings of worshiping in the Word today, be our confirmation in the fact about the power of prayer, leading us to avoid the fancy, even in subtle ways presented. For our own good and for the good of those who hear. Now, one of the blessings of receiving the body and blood of Christ in with and under the bread and wine today for the seal of the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of faith, be forgiveness for any wrong use of prayer that we might have made, and strength to pray in response to God's word. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ's Jesus. Amen.